We hear again some of the words this morning from Mark's gospel. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold on to the tradition of men.'" In the name of Jesus. Well, Jesus doesn't avoid this confrontation with the Pharisees and scribes. He never does. He never does with teachers of the law. Those who judge, those who stand over others with their rules, control, and their supposed path to clean or righteous living, they always get it all backwards, and often under the pretense, unfortunately, of good Bible teaching. Jesus calls them out on it from the very beginning. This false doctrine isn't anything new, and it actually finds its roots in our first parents, Adam and Eve, who foolishly hid from God, hid themselves from their Lord, and tried to cover themselves up. There's always an audience for this kind of false teaching because it appeals to our old Adam, our sinful flesh that always rejects or sets aside the gift of God and instead looks to some kind of moral or cleaned up life, turning gift into method or earnings in some sort of merit system. So there's always a market for it. But Jesus doesn't tolerate or play games with this kind of false teaching. And he always goes after those who would turn his word into some sort of rule book or instruction manual. This is where Bible teaching, or even our hearing of the Bible, can go wrong. In confusing law and gospel, or making God's gift our work. The irony of this text in Mark's gospel is that standing right before the Pharisees and the scribes is the Word of God himself. And yet they have no idea who he is, and instead, they've turned everything upside down, as our Old Testament reading tells us, missing the very gift that is Jesus himself. John tells us that Jesus has come to give grace upon grace, rather than set up new laws. So he writes in John 1:16, "For from his fullness we've all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." However, these teachers of the law from Jerusalem, they're appalled by Jesus' disciples' lack of following these hand-washing rituals and traditions that they've set up. They have numerous new laws that they've set up, plenty to follow, attempting to make one another clean. Thus, by doing so, they're rejecting the word of gospel that was already given to them through the prophets, through Moses, through the Old Testament. They assume that Jesus, because his disciples don't wash their hands, is a bad influence, a false teacher himself, and a bad rabbi who doesn't make his disciples follow these ceremonies before eating. So Jesus gets right to the point in his response. He said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandments of God and hold on to the tradition of men.'" After making it clear that these teachers themselves are hypocrites, since they don't even keep the Ten Commandments, and Jesus points this out, Jesus brings up this text from Isaiah 29, which today is our Old Testament reading, that they would have been very familiar with, the whole thing. "They make void," Jesus says, "or leave God's mandate of cleansing his people by gift and turn the scriptures into a to-do list or an instruction manual." Four times, Jesus emphasizes their rejection, voiding or setting aside his word or his gift. And this is what he says, Isaiah 29, "In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." And then he says, "You leave the commandment of God and hold on to the tradition of men." And again, he emphasizes, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. Finally, he says, thus making the word of God, voiding the word of God by your tradition that you've handed down, and many such things you do. So the question is, how are they making his word void? Why does Jesus go this direction with the discussion? Well, what good is it to focus on washing the outside of a person when the inward parts of man are the real problem? What good is hand washing when a wicked heart that is conceived in iniquity is what the Bible says is wrong with all of us? As Jesus says to his disciple right after this, what comes out of a person, that's what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. As it goes wrong for most and all false teachers, so it goes wrong here for these Pharisees and scribes. When we turn the gospel into a law, it always ends badly. That's why Jesus keeps going after this again and again with the teachers of the law. These teachers, like all of us do in our sinful flesh, estimate themselves too highly. They've misdiagnosed the problem. They believe falsely in human potential and their ability to clean themselves up. They're blind to it. The depth and real effect of original sin. As our psalm said that we chanted this morning, there is none righteous. No, not one. What they're doing always fails because of this sin. Every time. Because with man, this is impossible. In addition, it's also impossible to teach or rightly even understand the scriptures without distinguishing the law and the gospel, and without Jesus as the promised one given in all of scripture, Old and New Testament. Isaiah tells us about this impossibility of getting it right and compares it to trying to understand the Bible when you can't even read. It's absolutely foolish. So these false teachers of the law end up teaching nothing. Nothing helpful at all. Isaiah 29 says, and the vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book that's sealed. When men give it to one who can read, saying, read this, he says, I can't, for it's sealed. And when they give the book to one who cannot read, saying, read this, he says, I can't read. When we don't hear God's word justifying the sinner, we turn his gospel into a manual of trying to justify ourselves before God, and we end up with all kinds of nonsensical teachings. We've all heard them, and we hear them all the time. This happens even in churches who claim to be Bible-believing or Bible-teaching, unfortunately, turning Jesus' finished work on the cross as a manual for us to do good things, instead of cleansing us from our sin, from original sin. Yet Jesus died for all, including every self-righteous teacher of the law, and that includes you and me. And this is excellent, excellent news. Jesus shed his blood for sinners, real and actual sinners, not theoretical or hypothetical sinners. This includes bad Bible teachers and people who hear the Bible wrong. He died for Pharisees. He died for atheists. He died for outright defiant sinners. He's taken himself upon himself your sins, too. He's taken all of them on himself, even the worst, the ones you don't even know about. That includes your sinful means of trying to justify yourself. And his gift to you of holy baptism stands against your Pharisaical tendency to do it yourself. He fulfilled the law for you, all of it. And he washed you clean in the water that drowned your old man of sin and raise you to walk in the newness of life that only he can give. He's rescued you from yourself, from the folly of your own set of rules or some way of trying to better yourself. This is what he does for sinners. And he doesn't wait for them to do their part because they can't do any part. So Jesus does it all, beginning to end, cleansing you of all sin, that you may boast not in your ability, your reason, or strength, as the Catechism says, but or so because you can keep some set of new rules or something you've figured out. But your boasting is always in Christ Jesus alone, who purchased you not with silver or gold, but with his precious blood. He gives life and fruit where there's none to be found, and he keeps and sustains you to the end, to the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. It's all given to you as pure gift, all gospel, all Jesus for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.